there's a time in your ministry that you have to go before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what's up? What's up? What's going on? What's going on? And Monday night, as I was in the bed, Tina was asleep. Everybody in the house was asleep. It was in the wee hours of the morning. And I began to pray and ask the Lord what we needed to do. If I was in the right place, if we were on the right track, if God still had his hand on living water, if the devil was going to win, whatever it may be, if I needed to step down, let somebody, sometimes you have to go before the Lord and ask things like that. Not that you want to, just sometimes you have to, and find out and be sure. And as I went and finished the prayer out, I turned the television up and it immediately went to a commercial. And the first phrase that the commercial said is, in this 11th hour. In this 11th hour. It's talking about going shopping for Christmas is what it was. And that kind of stuck with me. And that morning early, when I get ready for work, I take my cell phone and I go in to the bathroom and I play either a sermon or something just to kind of do my devotion on the daytime and every day. And as I was there that morning, a commercial came on, a little ad came on, and talking about going shopping for Christmas, a totally different ad than what I'd heard the night before. And it says, you're in the 11th hour, you need to rush to be able to get these gifts for Christmas. So anytime that happens in your life where you have something happen twice, at least twice, especially if it happens three times, the Bible said God always speaks in two or three witnesses. So anytime you see something happen or something spoken, or it's not a coincidence, it's the spiritual avenue of God trying to speak to you most of the time, you have to check things out and be sure that it is God, because the devil knows that too, okay? But once you know it's God, you start praying into what God is trying to tell you. So this week, I began to pray in what God has told me. And he led me to this chapter of Matthew chapter number 20. Simply because in that chapter, it mentions the 11th hour. What I do when the Lord speaks to me in that way, or I feel like the Lord speaking to me, is I go and try to confirm it with the Bible. So I've done a search for everything that talked about the 11th hour. And this chapter come up. In fact, it's one of the only chapters in the Bible that ministers and mentions the 11th hour. However, there's many other things in the Old Testament about the 11th hour. And as I began to read this and began to study it, I preached on this on many occasions, but something opened up. The Bible, they tell you when you start to study the Scripture that you always take the Scripture literally if you possibly can, in all possibilities. If it can in any way be taken literally, take it literally, and try not to interpret the Scripture allegorically. Well, there comes times in the Scriptures that the Bible plainly says that the Scriptures are written as a shadow of what's going to happen, or something to help us out. The Old Testament saints are a shadow of what's in the New. So God is still an allegorical God. He speaks to us in allegory. Allegory is where he gives you a person or a story that is to, when you put an analysis on it, it can be prophetic, it can explain a certain situation, it can explain certain movement, whatever it may be. So as I went through this, God began to show me something allegorically, and I want to talk with you about that today, because I believe that not only are we in the 11th hour in society, we're about to move into an 11th hour movement from God, and it's going to be something that we have never witnessed before in our life. In fact, as I looked at this, many of the scriptures and sermons that I've preached over the last few years has been basically a conglomerate of bringing all this stuff together. So if you're happy to know that God is still moving in his church, say amen. Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 1, we're going to be talking about the 11th hour visitation. 11th hour visitation. I know it's Christmas, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, this morning too as well. But we're going to be talking about the 11th hour visitation from God to his church for quite a season, until God tells us that everybody's got it. Matthew chapter number 20, verse 1 through 16. Now notice here, this is Jesus talking, and notice also it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Very important that you understand the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, it kind of takes away some of the interpretation that a lot of people have put on it. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out." So everybody just underline that word, "went out." "He went out," and circle the words, "early in the morning. And he went out to hire laborers into his vineyard." Underline vineyard. So you have a householder, a landowner, that went out in a certain period of time to go out and hire laborers or workers in a vineyard. When you start looking at this symbolic, you're going to begin to understand. The person that is the householder is God himself. God himself, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The house that, and the land that he owns, the vineyard, is his church. The church began as the Jewish church. The Jewish church actually rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and it went out to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles now are a part of the church. We have been grafted into the church. So when he's talking about his vineyard in John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." So the vineyard is always going to be the church. So you have to look at this and apply it in what he's speaking here about the age of the church. So you go all the way back to the Jewish church from the time that Abraham was called, basically, right on through. And then you began to understand what God is trying to say when you put all this together. But I want you to notice, too, as well, that he went out and hired laborers. And laborers is something that we really need in the church today. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Laborers are people that actually are working and that will work and do what God wants them to do. So, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that's a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. So, if we take the interpretation of the scripture and we put it together, it says, here's what's going to happen in the kingdom of heaven. God is going to visit his church early in the morning, and he's going to go out and he's going to hire laborers to work in his church. So we have the first visitation of God coming to visit the world and set up his church. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. God himself visits his earth, his creation, and he creates a church in it. Then in verse number 1, he says he hires laborers to work in the vineyard. Notice, you don't need laborers in the vineyard until it's time to do what?
Harvest
it. So he's hiring these people to go harvest some. So now we're going to be looking at the stages of harvest. So the first stage of harvest started early in the morning. Now you need to understand how the Jews keep time. The Jews had watches of the night. Our time starts in our period, we think, at like 6 o'clock in the morning. But their day, or their new day, starts at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and there are 4 watches in the night, broken down in 3 hours apiece. And the early in the morning phrase is always 6 o'clock in the morning, between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So anytime you see in the Bible the phrase early in the morning, it's always talking about that 3-hour period between 6 and 9 o'clock. So we see that God very early in the day is going to visit the earth, and he's going to set up his church, and he's going to hire people and laborers that will go forth and work in the harvest. Now notice there, he hired them, and in verse number 2, he put them under a contract. He said, "I agreed with the laborers for a penny a day," and he sent him into his vineyard. Notice now, these first hirelings that he hired was under contract with God. So there was a law that was in place. So this goes all the way back, really, when you look at this, in the period of time that God began to give the law to man. So now those people in the Old Testament is the only one that really has a contract. From here on out, you'll see what happens as we go forward. In verse number 3, and he said, and he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So the third hour, if the first hour is 6 o'clock, the third hour will be what time? 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. So 9 o'clock starts the third hour. So now we see that God himself is going to visit his church a second time. And as he visits his church the second time, he's going to go out and look, and he sees a whole lot of people that are standing idle, standing idle. How many would agree right now in the church we got a lot of people standing idle? The word idle in Greek means this. It means to be free from labor and standing or sitting at leisure, shunning the labor which one ought to perform, to be inactive, to be useless, and to be barren. In other words, not producing fruit. How many would agree that there's a lot of people in the church right now that fulfills that definition? Yes. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that are standing idle amidst the move of God. So now we see the second visitation. The first visitation was at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now we see that he goes out at 9 o'clock during the third hour, and he sees people still standing idle, and he tells them in verse 4, he said, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Whatsoever is right. So notice here now, there is no contract. There is no contract here. It is whatsoever is right. So what's right in God's eyes is mercy and grace. Thank God that we're under mercy and we're under grace. Amen. So this carries us a little bit further allegorically to look at this and to see that now God is talking about a visitation in the third hour where he's going to cancel out the law and he's going to reward the laborers according to what's right. Amen. The Bible says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that's our faith. We have faith in him to agree and know that he is going to reward us if we work for him. There was a promise given to Israel in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant that we really don't have, but we do have it. We don't have it in a written contract form under God's signature and a covenant that's been done, so to speak. But what we have is we have faith and trust and belief in God's character that if he's going to do it for one, he is no respecter of person. He's going to do it for all. Amen? Amen. Y'all with me today, okay? All right, then we go on. And it says in verse 4, whatsoever is right, I'll give you. And they went their way. And again, he went out about the sixth hour. So what time would it be then that he went out? At 12 o'clock. So in the 12th o'clock hour, he goes back out because he realizes that the harvest is not being gathered as quick as it needs to be gathered. And then he says that he did it not only in the sixth hour, he did it in the ninth hour. So where did he go? When did he go again if it was in the ninth hour? If 6 o'clock is 12 o'clock, when would the ninth hour be?
3, but am I understanding it right? If 6, 7, 8 is the first hour,
early in the morning. Then the third hour is between 9 and 12. Then the sixth hour is between 12 and 3. And then he says, I go out in the ninth hour, which is between 3 and 6. So instead of putting the dash there, let's just say he goes out at 6 o'clock in the morning. He goes out at 9 o'clock. He goes out at 12 o'clock. And he goes out at 3 o'clock. Y'all follow me on that, okay? That's kind of what we're talking about, rather. So he went out in the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. So he goes back to them. He says, okay, come to work in my vineyard, and I'll give you what's right. Now, he goes further in verse number 6, and he says, about the 11th hour. So now, if God is a God that is a pattern God, he's the same God that he is today, yesterday, and forever, it would make sense that if he went out at 6 o'clock, he went out at 9 o'clock, he went out at 12 o'clock, he went out at 3 o'clock, and he was going out every 3 hours. Looks like to me he'd be going out at 6 o'clock, wouldn't it? Amen? But something's different here because now he goes out in the 11th hour. Let me share with you that God is definitely going to come out in the 6th hour. Thank God it's going to be something special for us But there is something that's going to happen in the 11th hour where God is going to come back out and revisit his church. So I want you to look at this today because it's very important that you understand what's going on here. He says, I went out at 6 o'clock and I visited the church. I go out at 9 o'clock and I visit the church. I go out at 12 o'clock and I visit the church. I'm going out at 3 o'clock and I'm visiting the church. And I'm going out at 5 o'clock to visit the church. And we're going to find out a little bit later on, he's going to come back and he's going to visit the earth in the 6th hour, so or the 12th hour. So now we see God has a visitation to the earth at 6 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock. So there are five separate, distinct visitations of God to his church. Now, Wednesday night when I talked, I spoke of four, because the four of those five actually is the visitation to the church under grace. And that's what concerns us. Okay? Everybody with me this morning? Amen? Amen. All right, let's go further. About the 11th hour he went out, and he found others standing idle, and he said to them, why stand ye here all the day idle? I want you to underline that, circle it. You're going to see documents that's going to have that on it. The series is entitled to Living Water Worship Center, why are you standing here all day long idle? There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot to be harvested. There's a lot of praying to do. There's a lot of attending to do. There's a lot of cleaning to do. There's a lot of reaching out to do. There's a lot of educating to do. There's a lot of deliverance to do. There's a lot of preaching to do. There's a lot of teaching to do. Why are you standing here idle all day long? Notice what he said. They said unto him, because no man's hired us. He said unto them, go you also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Now, in verse number 8, he starts again. He says, so when even was come, anytime you see the word even, that means there's several different evens, but there's a one even that starts at 3 o'clock, and then there is the actual even that starts at 6. And when he says even here, he's saying now when 6 o'clock comes, 6 o'clock comes, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. So, at the 12 o'clock hour, which is 6 o'clock, God is going to come back to the earth and he is going to give every man their rightful reward. In other words, it is the judgment of God. Are y'all following the process? Y'all got me? Okay. He said, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured, verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought or worked but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? In other words, won't you under contract with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Underline that. I will give unto this last even as I give unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So, the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Boy, I love that there. Amen. Look at your neighbor right beside him and say, God save the best for last. That means you're the best. Everyone say that with me. Say, I am the best. Boy, ain't that a revelation right there. Bam, hit you in the head. Out of every angel, every spirit, everything that God created, every person that's been on the face of the earth, all the Adams, all the Abrahams, all the Moseses, all the Joshuas, all the Ezekiels, all the Isaiahs, all of John the Baptist, all the 12 apostles, all of that, out of all of them, you're the best. I could, if you got that, I could close up and go home. You are the best that God has to offer. Now, boy, I tell you what, a lot of us looking into other people's lives, we don't feel that. We're going to find everything wrong with them. But the truth of the matter is, God has put you in the 11th hour because you are the best He has to offer. There is something in you that God is wanting to mine out of you that He can use to literally change His harvest. Amen? So now, here we see the pattern, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock, be interrupted with an 11th hour period. And the mathematics equation just seems to be off. So when you go to look at this, you begin to see something. So what God is saying is, there are, my church now, the church under grace, there are four distinct visitations that I am going to have performed in my church in their history. There are going to be four specific times that I show up and I visit my church. And when I visit my church in the hour, then I'm going to do something. I want you to go back to that chapter, verse number 1, where it says He went out. And I told you to underline or circle that word. The word went out there in Greek is a very important word. You need to understand, because it's not that He just went out. He went out with a purpose. The word literally means you come out of privacy, or you come out of hiding. You come out of being away from people, and you go out publicly. And when you go out publicly, you show off to attract people. In other words, what it means is that God comes down away from the darkness, and He steps into man's life, and He shows out, and He shows what He can do to attract people into His vineyard. Are y'all getting my point? In other words, God comes in and He shows out in a mighty move. May it be that He goes in and He heals all the drug addicts that there is in the town. Or maybe He goes in and everybody that has cancer in the church is immediately healed. Or He goes in and everybody that's living together, God brings in a powerful conviction power of God, and everybody decides they want to get married. Or all of a sudden, God comes in and everybody that's been dead in their spiritual worship starts worshiping the Lord. Or God shows up and it just seems like everybody thing changes all at one time. So God is saying, when I go out, each one of these moves, what I am doing is I'm going out and I'm going to show out in my power so that I do something that will attract people to come to work in my vineyard. Someone say amen. So God says there are four distinct visitations and separate visitations and moves of my spirit that is going to happen to the church. And as it happens to the church, then I am going to show up and I'm going to show out and I'm going to attract people to my church. I want you to look at what He said. Look at what He said there. He said He went out. Everybody holler out and say He went out.
Yeah.
You are not going to get people coming to the church without going out. You're going to have to go out. You're going to have to go out. That's why you're at that job that you're at. That's the reason why you're a member of that group you're a member of. That's the reason why you're a member of that family you're a member of. That's the reason why you go places that you go. That's the reason why you got those relationships that you got. You got to show out and you got to go out. And if you don't go out, you're not going to find the people that are searching. Now notice, look at this and holler out with me. So they were in the marketplace. In other words, there's a lot of people out there that literally are hungry to be able to do something for God. They want to see a move of God. They want to be able to get the reward of the Spirit of God moving in their life. But somebody has got to go lead, guide, and direct them and call them so that they would have the choice to be chosen. Would you say amen?
Amen.
So now, God says there's four distinct moves. Now, I want you to notice this. Here's what's so powerful about this scripture. In those four moves, they have already, three of them has already happened in the scripture. And three of them was a mighty powerful move of God each time. And then God said, the 11th hour when I go out, the people that worked in the 11th hour is going to get everything that I've done when I visited at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I visited at 3 o'clock in the morning, or I'm sorry, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're going to get everything that I gave all of them all at one time. So here's how God works. God's truth and God's movement is revelatory. That means He builds upon it. Here a line, there a line, here a little bit, there a little bit. So when God does something early in the morning, when He went back out at 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, o'clock, I'm sorry, when he went out at 9 o'clock, what he done at 6 o'clock, he built on that. And those people that were a part of the 9 o'clock hour move, they got everything that everybody got in the early morning hours. And then when he went out at 12 o'clock, they got everything that the 6 o'clock and the 9 o'clock hour visited people got. And then those at 12 o'clock, they got everything. Those at 3 o'clock got everything the ones had before. And now the 11th hour, folks, is going to get everything that God does in his church at the 6 o'clock hour, at the 9 o'clock hour, at the 12 o'clock hour, and at the 3 o'clock hour. So everything that God does in these moves, we're going to start seeing happen in the church in the next coming few months. I'm here to tell you, we are in the 11th hour. Would you say amen? So let's find out where these visitations were. The third hour visitation, we find that over in Acts chapter number 2. It was the third hour of the day that they got together and they went and they were out there in the temple, or they were meeting in the upper room, and then all of a sudden a sound from heaven sounded out and the glory of God come moving in. The whole city was shaken and people began to speak in other tongues, and the glory of God showed up as like a fire and began to walk through each and every one of them individuals. And as he walked in through each and every one of them individuals, they began to speak in another language. In other words, the Holy Ghost showed up, inaugurated the church, and empowered them to begin to be witnesses and martyrs to the people that are out there to spread the gospel. And Peter, when he was preaching, stood up and he said, "This is that the prophet Joel talked about." And we're going to look at that in just a few minutes, that the prophet Joel talked about. He said, "Young men will dream dreams, your old men will see visions." And he goes on further. He said, "Even your handmaidens will begin to prophesy." And he goes on and he's talking about a power, the movement of God that empowers the church to evangelize and destroy a culture so that people can have faith in God. So God in the third hour moved upon his church in Jerusalem, and what he done in Jerusalem began to move in a mighty way upon these men and these women to where they literally got the attention of the world. So part of the move that God is going to do in the 11th hour is he's going to use that same movement to come in and cause the world to see his power and began to ask. And you're going to have four different groups of people. You're going to have the people that are participators. You're going to have the people that are imitators. You're going to have the people that's going to run them down. You're going to have them that mock them and say that they're crazy. But then there's going to be a group of people that say, "This is that God spoke through the prophet Joel." And I don't know about you, but this is a that church, and we're going to move in that power because God is going to do something amazing in the next few years in this church. I want you to know God is not give up on living water. Would you say amen? So at 9 o'clock in the morning, they were there in the temple or out there, and the Spirit of God showed up. Wouldn't it be something if we were here in this church and we were praying and all of a sudden an earthquake broke loose and every building that there was in Blainboro fell to the ground except this building? I'm here to tell you, God is about to get the attention of people. Would you say amen on that? So this move is coming back to the church. It still is here. It's still there right now. But we have discounted it so, and we have allowed things to come in and pollute it. So God is getting it ready to where when he shows up, this move is coming back to the church. Can you say amen? And John chapter number 7, Jesus said that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. God wants you to literally be on fire for him, and God is fixing to light his church back up again. Amen. God is about to light you up. Smile at that beside of you. Look at him and say, "God's going to set you on fire." Oh, we're going to see Mel finally get on fire. We're going to see Darlene get on fire. We're going to see people that haven't been on fire in a long time get on fire. I can just envision in my mind God standing at the pavilion of heaven with the Holy Ghost match, striking it on the tinder and releasing it on the church. I want you to know the very same thing that the apostolic church did there in that third hour, we're going to do it again. In other words, God is going to use you to get the attention of your family, get the attention of your town council, get the attention of your preacher, get the attention of your members in your church, get the attention of your co-workers. God is going to use you to attract the people that he wants in the 11th hour. Can you give God some praise for that this morning and say amen? Amen. Moses said in Numbers chapter number 11, when it happened to where his spirit was given to the 70 elders and they were running around prophesying, two of them missed that little point, but later on, the two got the very anointing of Moses, and they began to go around in the camp. They began to prophesy, and a couple of them run to them and say, "Hey, there's wildfire in the camp. There's wildfire in the camp. You need to go stop these men from prophesying. They're talking like you, and they hadn't been appointed by God to talk like you." And Moses said, "Leave them alone. I would to God that every one of the Lord's people were prophets, and that they would speak and they would move, and the power of God was put on them." In the original language, he said, "I see a day when every one of God's people will become prophets, and they will move as the Spirit of God is put up on them." And I'm here to tell you, get ready. There is about to be a Holy Ghost move of God, not just in this church, but in every church. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get living water ready to receive that, because if we don't want it, then he'll move on to another one, because he's going to get it done. So we got to create a desire on the inside of our heart that we're going to have it one way or the other. Amen. So when we experience this, we're going to be empowered, and we're going to be able to restore things back like they need to be. And God is going to finally revive people that are dead. How many of you realize right now you can't revive nobody? I'm telling you what, you can try all you want to, and people that think that they're perfect and all this line, they think they're all right, you can't revive them. But there's coming a time that God is going to revive them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this spirit, this move that I'm talking about in the third hour move, it never died. It's still here. Every spirit-filled church has its roots all the way back to the day of Pentecost. In fact, it goes all the way back to Numbers chapter number 11 when these men began to prophesy. It's still here. God still can move like that. God still moves like that. Would you say amen? It showed up in the United States of America 100 years ago over in California on a street over there called Azusa. So I want you to take your pen and I want you to write down that street. A-Z-U-S-A. 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 I want you to write that down. Everybody holler out and say Azusa.
Azusa.
Then say, from A to Z, God is going to move in the USA. So God even used this street that he moved on 100 years ago when William Seymour put his head down in a crate and began to pray the Spirit of God down, and the power of God came and the Pentecostal movement began to move here in the United States. He even used that street to prophesy that, say, from A to Z, I'm going to move in the United States of America, in every avenue and every arena and every institution in every area. God's going to move in the United States of America. So get ready, school system. God's coming back to the school system. Get ready, political endowments. God's moving back into the political scene. Get ready, judges and the judgment institutions of this world. God's coming back into the judges, into the areas. Get ready in the Congress, United States of America. God's fixing to show back up in that institution. God is going to show back up in every institution. So get ready. God's going to start putting marriages back together. Someone say amen. And I want you to know that God is going to begin to get even back into his church, because it is the institution, and God is going to thoroughly, from A to Z, move everywhere, because he can't be held back any longer. Amen. So that's the third hour visitation. The visitation where the Holy Ghost showed up and the fire of God began to walk through each and every person. And as he walked through them, they began to be speaking another language as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And it got the attention of everybody. And on that day, one sermon was preached and 3,000 people came to the church.
Amen.
So get ready for God to bring new people into the church. Amen. Oh, 120 got 3,000. Now, I wish someone would take their cell phone and take 120 and divide it by 3,000 and see what type of percent you got. God immediately in one day took that church, and over 3,000% of the church, he filled the church up within one day. I'm here to tell you, we've labored, we've fought, and we've come against it. We've tried to hold on to the Spirit, but when God brings this move back again, the church is going to get full. There ain't going to be enough of room to house them, because God is going to get the attention of the world, because he is going out, he's showing out, and he's going to attract the people by the power that he brings forth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Then it shows us that there's a sixth hour move. And in John chapter number 4, we see what that is. Jesus prophesied about this when he went into Samaria. Everybody say he went to Samaria.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know Jesus said that the power of God's going to come on you and you're going to be endued with power on high, and I'm going to make you witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and out in the world, and you're going to be over in Samaria as well and all other parts of the world. In other words, you're going to be ministering here in Jerusalem, which is your hometown, and you're going to minister in Judea, which is your state. But then I'm going to send you to places that you don't even want to go. You see, the Jews and the Samaritans, they were little mortal enemies. They didn't get along at all. They didn't even talk to each other. They had this racism, and they had actual hate that's going on in their life. If they had an opportunity to kill one another, they'd kill one another. They were just against each other. They didn't believe that the Samaritans was a true Jew, and the Samaritans didn't believe that the Jews was right, so they built them a temple over in Samaria, and they had a temple over in Jerusalem. But God said, when this move comes on you, I'm going to empower you to be witnesses for me in the city of Jerusalem where you live and you're comfortable at, in your state, in your local area where I have you at. But then I'm going to send you in a place you don't even want to go. But when you go in there, I'm going to use something to literally move on them and cause them to want to be attracted to me. Everybody holler out and say, God went out. So God is about to go out again. And now he's going to bring a revelation and a move, which he done this before. He's going to bring a revelation and a move that's going to attract the people. How many of you realize and understand that over the past 30 or 40 years, there's been a major move in the church about worship and about praise? All this new contemporary music, all this stuff and everything. I'm not saying all of us from God. I'm just saying there's been a revelation of worship. In fact, when I was coming into church, I started coming to church in the 1970s. In the 1970s, it was based more upon salvation. It was based more upon understanding and realizing that if you're a Pentecostal, that you can speak in another language. But then later on in the 80s, the 90s, they began to put more attention on worship and more attention on praise. And they began to have praise courses. How many remember that? It used to be you go to church and all you heard was hymns. And now churches began to start having praise hymns or praise courses. And people would start raising their hands and they'd praise the Lord. And for hours they'd just stand there and they'd praise the Lord from the 1980s right on through until about the year 2000. It was a revelation of worship. In John chapter number 4, Jesus went into Samaria and the woman came to the well. And while she was there at the well, he spoke to her and he said, told her a revelation of worship. He said, your people worship those that they don't know. He said, but God is a spirit and he's seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. So the second move that God moved upon his church, we find it happened in the sixth hour when God brought a revelation of praise and worship. And our hope that Living Water will get a revelation of praise and worship. I really do, because I'm going to tell you what, one of the reasons why your life is in disarray like it is, and everybody's listening to me online, your life is just falling apart in your hands, is because you will not worship God. Amen. You will not praise God. Amen. Job gives us a good understanding of worship as he used the scientific formula of how rain is developed. He says God evaporates the water and it goes up into the air. And when it goes up in the air, it begins to get so heavy it creates a cloud. And it gets trapped up in between the firmament and there. And there's a time that it can't come back down because the water that goes up is actually lighter than the atmosphere. But as more water goes up, it gets heavier and it gets heavier. And it creates a cloud and it creates a cloud. And the next thing you know, you wake up in the morning and there's 3 inches of water on the ground. In other words, the more you praise God, the more you're going to get a blessing. The Bible says that he will come to you as the former rain and the latter rain all at one month. What he's saying is, the more you praise me, the bigger praise cloud you send up to me. The more you praise me, the bigger storm I'm going to send. The more you worship me, the bigger storm I'm going to send. The more you praise and worship me, the more blessing I'm going to rain down on you. How many of you need God to bless you? Well, then we need to start praising him some. We need to put our hands together. There are 9 different ways to praise the Lord. The Bible says you shout out his glory. The Bible says you play instruments for his glory. The Bible says you put your hands together and you clap. The Bible says you stand up and you praise and you jump and you dance for him. The Bible says you run in praise for him. The Bible says there are 9 different ways to praise the Lord. And I am ready for living water to get a revelation that, hey, look, I ain't got to put up with my life the way it is every week. I can come into the house of God, and when the music begins to play and when people get together, we can praise the Lord together. And as we praise the Lord together, we are releasing a thunderstorm of God's glory in our life, and God will wipe away everything that is not right, and he'll rain down a blessing. If you need a blessing from God, I'm here to tell you what you got to start doing is you got to start praising the Lord. Amen. Don't sit here and tell me you can't praise the Lord. I've seen and heard you out there in the nightclub. I've seen you out there at them football games. I've seen you out there at the basketball game. I've seen you get loud. You can get loud. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So the 6th hour move was a revelation of the glory of Almighty God. And it was a worship that brought that glory. So the first move was when God set up the church originally. Then he comes in and he moves and empowers it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now he comes in and he moves in the revelation of worship. And now we move to the 9th hour. And this is a move that started back in the 1970s for us. But it started in the Bible in Acts chapter number 3. In Acts chapter number 3, Peter and John was going into the temple in the 9th hour. Everybody hold on and say the 9th hour. They were going in on the 9th hour. And there was a lame man sitting at the gate, beautiful, that was looking for alms with him. And Peter saw him and put his eyes on him. And he looked at him and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And that boy jumped up and he walked and he went running into the very temple. And he began to shout and praise God because he had a healing that showed up. The movement in the 9th hour is a healing and a power of God that brings into the church, into the world, the healing power of God. Amen?
Amen.
So get ready. Cancer is fixing to be healed right in front of your eyes. There's going to be brand new feet that's going to be grown right before your eyes. You're going to start seeing hands that are withered straight out. You're going to see people that are blind. That's the reason why we got people sent here that are deaf and people that are blind. Because and without hands and without limbs, God is about to do. Oh my God, I feel the anointing of God. God is about to do something in their life to shock the hell out of everybody and attract them into the church. Are y'all seeing what God is starting to put together? Amen. So in the 9th hour, it was a healing power, and the healing power of God fell upon the apostles. Even so, to the point that when Peter walked out on the street, everybody said, "If I could just have his shadow hit me, then I'll be healed." I'm here to tell you, faith among people are going to begin to get stronger. All it's going to take is for one person to say, "You know what? That girl went to that church out yonder, she's blind, and she ain't even wearing glasses no more. And that one went out there, and she had 3 limbs, and now she's got 4. That's all it's going to take, and this church will fill up. They filled this church up 45, 50 years ago with a man that was standing up here telling everybody God was filling their teeth. And I don't know about you, everybody come from all over the world. That was the craziest thing I ever seen in my life. I was a little 8-year-old child, and I knew right then it wasn't nothing but a great big lie. But just the lie went out, and they began to fill this church out from the first pastor that was here at that point in time because he was filling teeth in the church. I believe that my God, if he's going to create something, he's going to create something brand new. He ain't going to take what a man had and fill a tooth. Would you say amen? So we say that God can do it. So all it's going to take is one mighty move of God. And when it takes one mighty move of God, you're going to see WECT, WWAY. You're going to see Fox, all those people out here moving in because they are hungry to be attracted by God. Look at what went on at the university when they began to have that 24-hour praise service. Here come all the national media. That was just a pretaste of what God is about to do. You're going to start coming to the church, and there are going to be people in the church that are sitting here trying to find reasons to bring the church down, and people that's going to report on it. But people are going to see the power of God, and their faith is going to be increased, and the healings are going to happen on the very grounds before they ever walk into the place. And people are going to see the healing power of God once again in the church. Amen. That happened in the 9th hour on the gate, beautiful at that point in time. In the 11th hour, He went out, and boy, when we get in this, you're really going to enjoy this. He went out and he got 11 hours still standing idle. He went out and got people that were still idle. Even through all these moves, knowing that God is a God that can empower you to speak in another language. God is a God that can, that when you worship him, he blesses you. Knowing that he's a God that can heal you. And he says, by my stripes, you are already healed. Knowing all that, there are still people standing idle in the marketplace. They're not doing anything, but they're in the marketplace with 1 hour left, and they still are hungry to get hired and get the reward, and they need something from God. I want you to know, even though it don't look apparent today, people are hungry for the power of God. And we need to attract and bring forth and demonstrate, manifest the power of God. But in the 11th hour, these men came, and I said, Lord, why ain't there a 12th hour? And God said, there is. And he flipped me over to Matthew chapter number 25, and he said, at the midnight hour, the bridegroom comes out and calls his bride. In other words, there ain't going to be no midnight hour for me and you, because we ain't going to be here. In other words, God's people don't have a midnight hour. At midnight hour, the church is going to be gone. So in this last hour that we're here, God is going to prepare people and bring them into the church so we don't have to have the midnight hour. But in the midnight hour, you got to also understand that God is going to move in the midnight hour too, just like he did over in Egypt when he moved in the midnight hour there. He went there with a spirit of death, and as he saw the blood that was upon the people, he passed over them. And in the midnight hour, when Paul and Silas was in the jail cell in the dungeon down there strapped with their feet off of the ground, they began to sing praises to the Lord, and God sent an earthquake in that their hour. God's still going to be moving in that hour, but praise God for God's people. There is no midnight hour. Amen. At midnight, God took and pressed against Egypt and delivered his people. At midnight, God showed up and took a hold of Samson and went to the very gates of the enemy. And at midnight, he tore the gates of the city down and carried it off into captivity. God is going to do something even in midnight. But thanks be to God, I'm the 11th hour person. I'm going to be gone in that 12th hour. Amen. Amen. But in that 11th hour, he looked at him and he said, okay, you came to work with me in that 11th hour. I'm going to give you everything that everybody got that started at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to give you everything that everybody got that's worked with me from 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to give you everything that everybody got that started with me in 12 o'clock in the morning or in the afternoon. And I'm going to give you everything that everybody got at 3 o'clock. In other words, everything I did at 6 o'clock, everything I did at 9 o'clock, everything I done at 12 o'clock, everything I done at 3 o'clock, I'm going to do it all in the 11th hour. God said, I'm going to show up in my mighty power, and I'm going to attract the people's attention, and I'm going to fill my church, and I'm going to instruct them and give them a covenant, and I'm going to show the world that I'm still God and they're my people. Number two, I'm going to show up in my power, and I'm going to use my people to preach the word of God and evangelize. I want you to know something. Tell them, don't give up on your ministry. You're going to have so many people wanting to go out to minister with you to those people. God is about to do it, and every spirit of power that is moving on him, the power of God is going to come on people's life and empower them to be a witness, even in places that they don't even feel like they can be witnesses at and they don't want to be witnesses at. But on top of that, God is going to teach us and reveal to us the power of worship and the power of praise, and he's going to minister with that. But on top of that, in the middle of all of that, there's going to be healings galore from left to right. No longer am I going to have a back problem. No longer am I going to have a shoulder problem. No longer is migraines going to be a problem. God's going to heal us to attract the world, and God's going to change everything. My God, can y'all hear what God is saying? God says, get ready for the 11th hour. Someone say amen. So he revealed the Holy Ghost at 3 o'clock and all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be talking about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, revelation. We're going to talk about the gift of faith. We're going to talk about the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles. I want you to know God is about to do some miracles here in Living Water Worship Center. Everybody holler out and say, I'm ready for my miracle. Amen. On top of that, God is going to give a new revelation of worship, and God's going to turn around and bring healing and miracles on top of all of that there. And everybody that's alive now is going to get every anointing that God has ever poured out. He said, I gave you the former rain moderately like a shower, but he said, I gave you the latter rain as it come down as a deluge. He said, but there's coming an hour in one little short period of time. I'm going to give you the former rain, little drizzling anointing of the Old Testament, and the deluge power of Almighty God. That's an anointing of God on the New Testament, and I'm going to join the Old Testament anointing and the New Testament anointing together, and I'm going to anoint my 11th hour people to change the world, because there is coming a midnight hour. Amen. Before that midnight hour, there's coming 11th hour visitation. The third, sixth, ninth, and 11th hour people are going to get a power like they've never seen before. But let me give you a word of caution before I leave. Y'all have already seen it. I'm just going to confirm it. The minute 11th hour movement begins to move, God begins to anoint you for the 11th hour. Get ready. The 3 o'clock hour, the 6, I can't even talk here this morning. The 6 o'clock hour people, the 9 o'clock power people, the 12 o'clock hour people, the 3 o'clock hour people, they're going to literally feel hard at you. They're going to start doubting, why is it that you are the one that's going to be blessed? Why should I follow you? Why should I listen to you? Why do you get everything? I look at you. I know you still got problems in your life. I've been doing this here for 30, 40, 50 years, and here you are popping up in here, and you ain't proved nothing, and you're going to get the same thing I'm going to get. Yep, and you're going to get more, because you might just be a 6 o'clock hour person. You might just be a 9 o'clock laborer. You might be a 12 o'clock laborer. You might be a 3 o'clock laborer. But I'm looking in Living Water Worship Center for somebody who wants to be 11 o'clock laborer, 11th hour laborer. Am I talking to any 11th hour laborers here in the church? Here this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
Everybody holler out and say, Lord, pour it out.
Lord, pour it out.
The Bible said that in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit. Everybody say, you're going to pour it out.
Pour it out.
Now let me ask you a question. What's the it in here? If I pour it out, what am I pouring out? Do I pour it out if I pour half of it out? Do I pour it out if I pour almost every bit of it out of there, but I hold one drop?
No.
If I pour it out, I got to pour all of it out, right?
Yeah.
So God is saying, I'm about to pour out all my spirit.
Yeah.
I'm pouring out. So I've been pouring it out slowly. I've been pouring it out in measure. I've been visiting in the 6 o'clock hour in the morning, in the 9 o'clock hour, in the 12 o'clock, in the 3 o'clock hour. But there's coming an hour called the 11 o'clock hour that I'm going to pour out all of my spirit. All of it's going to hit at one time. Everything's going to come. Every anointing that's ever been there. Everybody just holler and say, pour it all out, Lord. Pour it all out. God said for me to let you know we are in the 11th hour.
Amen.
And we ain't going to have a midnight. So don't get discouraged. Smile at that this morning as I shut up and say, don't get discouraged.
Don't get
your eyes off what everybody else is doing. It don't matter what everybody, if they want to stay home, let them stay home. Let's move on. Amen. If they don't see that God is moving in this hour, let them stay home. I wish to God everyone here would just call everybody up and say, boy, I'm here to tell you I feel sorry for you. And they say, what you mean? You're missing that 11 o'clock hour visitation from God. You need to start breathing that up, because God is about to do it. You need to waken them up and let them know, hey, look, God is going to call some 11 o'clock hour people, and every move of God that he's done up to this point, he's going to combine it and conglomerate it together in a move that no devil could ever stop.
Amen.
So everybody just look at your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That's God's gift for his church right now. Now God wants me to come back and explain to you everything that happened early in the morning. And he wants me to come to you in a series of messages and preach to you and explain to you everything that happened in the 3 o'clock hour or the 3rd hour visitation, and in the 6th hour visitation, and in the 9th hour visitation. Because once we get a good understanding of everything that God done in that hour, we're going to see some Ezekiels.
Yes.
We're going to see some Elijahs and some Elishas. We're going to see some Isaiahs. We're going to see some Pauls and Silases and Barnabas. We're going to see things raise up that we ain't never seen in the church. I don't know about you, but I'm excited this morning to know what God is about to do. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, the devil wants to get you focused on everything going wrong.
Right.
But I want you to know right now, God's got a whole lot going right for us too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everyone just say praise the Lord. And then ask your neighbor, so are you an 11th hour person? Are you ready for the 11th hour visitation of God? Stand with me this morning. What a blessing to be in the 11th hour. Amen. Father, in the name of